It is Locked On Jazz for the 16th of August. I've got a little explaining to do, and then David James and I look ahead for the season, as well as get into a philosophical conversation about offense and defense. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, all here on Locked On Jazz. And you can get this program for free at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or listen on any of your smart speakers by just telling them to play the podcast, Locked On Jazz. Thank you very much for doing so. And if you leave a review, that's great. You know, I always wonder, I was talking to actually my partner in the Locked On Podcast Network. I say that every show. And then we were discussing that you probably already know that since you're listening right now. Like, so do I need to say that again? Or is it just reconfirmed to you that you can go to Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or tell your smart speaker to, okay. Question. How many of you use Alexa? How many of you use flash briefings? How many of you, if I were to record a 90-second quick hitter every morning for, or every night probably, to be a flash briefing, would that be cool? Just a question. All right, David James coming up for the summer interview series part 5 and 6. For our third day of that, we're going to talk about the season, what to expect from the team, and then we're going to get into a kind of philosophical discussion about offense and defense. I don't know if it's going to be any good. I'm very nervous about it. Like, I'm terrified about it. I love Shauna Lake. We've been friends for a long time. She helped me a good deal early when I was taking over the job for Hot Rod, since she had done replace Michelle King, and that was a pretty stressful thing to do. So she actually has been helpful to me in my career, so I would call her a friend, though we haven't seen each other much over the last years. But anyway, I am doing her person-to-person this weekend. That'll be on Sunday on Channel 2. I think I reveal one little aspect of myself that I joke about a lot that I actually reveal on this, so maybe that'll be interesting and helpful to somebody, hopefully. All right, enough of that. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai and my good friend Devin Cash of Equity Real Estate. I have two other podcasts that are out right now. Chuck Cooperstein and I do Over Under on Locked On NBA, in a long show that's really fun, if you want to grab that. And then I was on Real GM Radio with Adam Modis and Danny LaRue for our yearly Northwest Division preview. So both those are out there, and I had some things in both those shows I wanted to explain. So one thing that comes up is that I say that I just have never truly believed that DeAndre Jordan is that good a defensive player. And it will be interesting to see whether I'm right on this or whether or not this is the Clippers' defensive system. But over the last few years, opponents have shot a really high percentage at the rim against the Clippers. And that's where the premise of that comment comes from. The Clippers are 17th last year in the league in the Clippers were 17th in the league last year in their restricted area shooting. Now, the Jazz were only 12th, so this might not be the greatest indicator in the world that once people actually got in on the Jazz. But on the other end, the Jazz allowed the fifth fewest shots at the rim, and the Clippers allowed the 10th, and that number's always been high. So that's a little bit of the premise of that comment. I didn't get a chance to really explain that. The other thing is, and this again might be defensive structure, but because of Rudy Gobert, the Jazz are the fourth best team in the league at denying the corner three, and the fourth best team, a sixth best team overall in the league at denying the three. And the Clippers were 18th in the league at denying the three and 24th on the corner three. So again, this could be defensive structure, but it doesn't feel to me, as big as DeAndre Jordan is, and with all the, despite all the rebounding and the block shots, that he actually has a very high level defensive impact. And then moreover, the Clippers have actually never been a particularly good defensive team. So that was the explanation there. We talked about Portland and Terry Stotts in the program This, I believe, was on Real GM. That was with Chuck Cooperstein. This was on Real GM. And this, I think, and this gets really interesting, and there's a long conversation about this. Danny brings up some really great points. So Portland was far and away the best team in the NBA last year defending the rim. There's something that Terry Stotts is doing with a defensive structure that they're number one in the league defending the rim. They're 28th in the league defending the paint non-restricted area, 28th in the league defending the mid-range shot, and then they are in the third best team in the league at not allowing you to shoot a three. I don't entirely buy it. I get into this on Real GM also, but the numbers community believes that it is more important to deny the three than defend the three. The feeling is that the numbers will, the general shooting numbers of what everybody allows from the 3-point range will generally come back around, is the philosophy that they'll all equal out over time and that there's a luck, non-luck to whether threes go in. I'm not entirely sure I'm with everyone on this, but, you know, go with it. I mean, the best team in the league defending the above the corner three last year was 36% by the Spurs, and the worst team in the league was Cleveland at 45%. That's a pretty big range to say that it all equalizes. The above the break three is where they really talk about. Boston was best at 32%, and Denver was the worst at 38%. And again, one of those is generally thought of as a good defensive team, and the other is a bad, and it's hard for me to just buy that all is luck, but 32%, league average is 36, high is 38. There's probably some, you know, you start getting away from the outliers and you get in a little bit, and so you take the fifth best team in the league defending the three, you're at 34.6%, you take the 25th best team and you're at 36.5, and you know what? Now you are within like 2 percentage points on 2,000 shots. It's getting, your margin of error is getting, so there's some validity to that. The reason I mention that as we go back, so Portland's defensive structure, number one in the league at defending the rim by a large margin, and number three in the league in not allowing you to shoot threes, and number two in the league to not allowing you corner threes, there's something going on there money ball-wise that is special. They're doing something right defensively. The other teams that kind of worth keeping an eye on, and I think when you make predictions or thoughts about this upcoming season, that the teams that do this will likely be a little bit better than some others. So Brooklyn, and this is what Philadelphia was doing a few years ago, and actually Igor Kokoschkov and I used to talk about this a lot over breakfast. I really strongly believe that money ball defense is maybe the most important thing in the league. That is just playing a defensive structure that's forcing the right shots for you, like forcing the worst shots by the opponents. So the Brooklyn Nets were the sixth best team in the league at keeping you out of the restricted area, the number one team in the league at not allowing you to shoot a three, and the number one team in the league at not allowing a corner three, and the number one team in the league at forcing you to take mid-range shots. They were not particularly good at defending all of these, but as they get better, this is what Philadelphia did. Philadelphia was good structurally, and then they got better defensively. So when Igor was interviewing for Phoenix, we talked about this. Phoenix was 26th in the league at allowing shots in the rim and 11th in the league allowing threes. Like, you have to be better than that. The Jazz are one of the better structural defensive teams. They're fifth best in the league at not allowing you in the restricted area. They're the sixth best team at not allowing a three and the fourth best team in the league at not allowing a corner three. So, you know, you're looking for teams that are top 10 in both. Portland, as we just talked about, is pretty good. 13th in restricted area allowing and number one defending it. So points per shot, they're like way best. That's not English. Third best team in the league denying the three. Philadelphia is the second best team in the league denying the rim, but they got less good at denying the three. Miami is middle of the pack in the restricted area, but seventh best at denying the three. So that's structurally pretty good. But there aren't a lot. Brooklyn and Utah are unique in that. Golden State's the 11th best team in the league restricted area, eighth best team in the league denying the three. Dallas was the number one team in the league denying the restricted area before they got DeAndre Jordan, which I think is very interesting. Number one team in the league at defending the paint before they got DeAndre Jordan, but they were not good at denying the three. So the teams that jump out here are, in fact, the Brooklyn Nets and the Utah Jazz as the only two teams that were both top 10 in denying your shots in the restricted area and denying you threes. The team that forced them and the team that forced the most mid-range shots was Brooklyn, and then the second in that regard is Dallas, but they allowed a lot of threes. They just didn't allow you to the rim. And then Portland, who we talked about, was 13th league restricted and third best at the three. So the three teams that really jump out to me as though they're doing something. And by the way, Philadelphia's, you know, that not allowing shots at the rim, they're only at 28%, is pretty low. So the three teams are really doing something defensively, Brooklyn, Utah, and Portland. I think that's important when you look for picks this season and give some credit. All right, you can catch the rest of this with David James. It's a lot of fun. Real GM Radio with Danny LaRue and Adam Ottis is super long, but it's a great preview. And then Chuck Cooperstein joins me on Locked On NBA. So a lot of content for you for the weekend if you need your NBA Jones. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai at 4646 South State Street. It's August is the birthday month over at Hyundai, so they're doing a bunch of great things and have loaded you up with for life items. So anytime you buy a car from Murdoch, you get the Murdoch guarantee. And what that the Murdoch guarantee has got four parts to it: car washes for life, safety inspection for life, 5-day exchange policy, and the price match guarantee. That's the essence of the Murdochs, because the Murdochs are trying to make sure that they can do everything as a dealership to control your experience and give you a good experience. So they're open later, give you more service hours, and give you those things. For this month of August in Linden and Murray Hyundai locations, you also get oil changes for life and brakes for life. The Murdoch the Hyundai Santa Fe, and I actually just am mentioning this all the time because it's self-fulfilling to me, because we just bought one and so I feel good about it. The 2018 Santa Fe received a highest 5-star overall safety rating from National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and considered a top safety pick plus a motor trim. My son comes back from a ski trip. He's in South America skiing right now. I know, tough life. On Saturday, and he will have his driver's license and be driving for the first time. There is a decent chance that I will be mentioning every single day of the show for the rest of my life that the 2018 Santa Fe, which he will be driving, received the highest 5-star overall rating for the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and considered a top safety pick plus by Motor Trend, just to make me feel better about the fact that I have a 16-year-old driver. The Summer Interview Series, David James, morning show host, 1280 The Zone, TV on KUTV, all-around good guy, been in the market forever, knows it as well as anyone. It's been really interesting to get his perspective on everything going on in the marketplace and how in our last 2 days' worth of conversation, so make sure you grab those on Locked On Jazz. Now let's go to the season. Where do you pick the Jazz in the West at this point, DJ?
I feel like a tremendous homer when I say this out loud, but I think they're top four in the West. I think San Antonio might be the other team. I think that Houston's going to fall, but I think they'll stay in the top four. They win 65 games. I think they lost two good defenders. That's going to be an issue. Chris Paul's a year older. That could be an issue. You know, I think the Warriors are the best team. How much of themselves they put in the regular season, who knows? My guess is not a lot. But they'll do enough to be the 1 or 2 seed. And I think that the Spurs, you know, it's interesting. You get DeRozan. Is he – so let's say 74 games is average in the NBA. And if it's not, that's your fault, because you're the one who told me 74 is the average player. Would you rather have 74 games of him Kawhi Leonard for like 9?
DJ, it's 71.
71 now. All right, would you rather have 71 games of him or Kawhi Leonard on a minutes restriction for 9 games? Now, how's DeRozan going to fit? How much are they going to be able to hide his deficiencies? I'm giving the Spurs a lot of credit that they're going to make the most of him, minimize his weaknesses, maximize his strengths, and it'll be really competitive. And there are, you know, I wonder how much the Lakers are coming. You know, they got young players. How much are they going to prove in the offseason? You know, who's going to have – is Kuzma going to have a sophomore slump, or is he going to take a big step forward? I think that's a huge question. I think the Jazz were top four. Getting to a conference final, yeah, I don't know about that. you know. And are the Lakers going to be better than I expect? I think that's sitting out there. You know, New Orleans obviously looks different. I like them, but I don't love them. Same thing with Minnesota. I like them. I don't love them. I wonder if Denver is going to be able to get in the playoffs. In a normal year, I think they would, but I don't know if they can in the West right now. With the Lakers improving, Denver wouldn't have to catch one team to get in. They would have to catch two. You know, Portland's asking a lot out of two smaller players. What are they getting out of their front court? That's always been an issue. You know, I just keep running through this, and I think, and I'll probably regret saying this aloud, but I think that teams 3 and 4 are the Spurs and the Jazz. I'm not sure of the order at this point.
Wow, the Spurs.
But I think that they're, yeah, I think getting DeRozan, and I think that Kawhi Leonard was just a massive distraction last year. And they were like, what were they, 2 or 3 games out of third. And so 71 games of DeRozan. Now, maybe he doesn't fit and it's a mess. And it's the end of an era, and the era really was about Duncan. It really was. And if that's true, then I'm wrong, and the Spurs don't get top four. But I would think 71 games of DeRozan is going to be a big improvement over 9 games of Kawhi Leonard.
You don't have Oklahoma City top four.
No, I don't. And there is addition by subtraction with Carmelo gone. But no, I don't. Go ahead.
The Jazz offense, or excuse me, the Jazz defense is as good when Rudy's been on the floor as the Warriors offense and the Rockets offense. Do you see them as having the same impact and equally as potent?
That's an interesting question. No. No, I have to admit I don't. I don't. I mean, you know, the Rockets offense, you just look at 65 wins. I mean, the Jazz defense could be great, but is that the core of a 65-win team? You know, I just don't see that. Do I think they'll go in the conference final? I don't think they are. So I can't say that they're going to do. Now, maybe you'd argue that Houston's offense and defense combined, you know, their defense, they had some pretty good defensive players last year. But no, I can't project their defense being good enough to carry them that far.
So I totally disagree with you on this. The reason the Rockets,
okay.
The reason the Rockets won 50, whatever, 8 games last year is because they were
Rockets? No, the Rockets won 65, didn't they?
Sorry, 65 games last year is because they were the 6th best defensive team in the league.
Right, exactly. The combination. Right.
If the Jazz offense is number 1 in the NBA, like it was when Rudy was healthy, and they go from the 15th ranked offense to the 6th offense, they'll win that many games too.
Ooh. Man, I mean, I think the arrow's up with this Jazz team. And it's like I said earlier, I'm trying not to, like, you're too close to the team. You're not getting a perspective of how good the West is and what a grind it is going to be winning. I'm trying to weigh all those things so I don't go too high on what I expect out of the Jazz. But I thought 55 is in play, but I got to admit, I've never thought 60 or 65 is in play.
But I don't think that they have a chance to be the 6th best offense in the league. So I don't either.
Okay, so you think 55 would be the most they could improve to? 55 regular season wins?
The question I asked you was, is their value defensively the same as the Warriors and Rockets' value offensively? And I think that is true. So now the question gets to be...
It's hard to say that. I mean, does a stop in a game give you as much momentum and light up a crowd the way a dunk or a three-pointer does? You know, some points are worth more than just the points. Over the course of a season, comparing the numbers has value, but when you're dragging in the season and travel's killing you, the adrenaline rush you get to push through the fatigue, does defense give you that adrenaline rush the way we know offense does? We've seen guys run back on defense. We've seen crowds get into games. Do you get that benefit out of it?
Sure, because defense gets you to play off a miss instead of a make, and that helps your offense more.
Well, and certainly when you get you force a turnover or a long rebound, you get out to run, you know, that does get a crowd going. When you're on a run and you get out on a break, but I just don't know if there are as many opportunities.
All right. I'm going to give you my theory on this next, and then we'll wrap.
Okay.
We'll wrap up the week's worth on a deep philosophical try to make the legendary David James head spin. That's next on Locked on Jazz. Today's show is brought to you in part by Devin Cash of Equity Real Estate. Devin's been with us since the very beginning. He does a lot of great things. First thing he'll do a market analysis for you for free. So that's probably the single first thing, is that if you're not sure, you're looking into it, it's the right time to do stuff. You want to this time of year before Christmas, before December, if you're going to do something, now's the time to do it. So you can call Devin at 801-759-1495. That's 801-759-1495. The second thing Devin does for the very first day I ever talk with him is he said, I approach real estate with the heart of a teacher. And if you run through the comments from Zach Campbell or Tim and Whitney McKee or Ryan and Natalie Gubler, who have all used him, that's exactly what you get. Ryan and Natalie wrote to me, we worked with Devin as a realtor buying our first home. He was extremely responsive, would text us back super quickly, even outside normal business hours. He went above and beyond when it came to walking us through a home buying process. He was an amazing resource and such a generally good guy. Thank you, Devin. He'll also give you the equivalent of 2 Jazz free season tickets when you buy or sell your home with Devin. Certain restrictions apply, but call Devin 801-759-1495. If you're in the real estate market, you're looking to either buy or sell, call Devin at 801-759-1495. And a programming note for those of you that are football fans, Locked on NFL has become Locked on NFL of Experts. Matt Williamson, longtime host of Locked on NFL, has a brand new lineup. Every Monday, we'll be locked on local experts on the biggest stories like we do on Locked on NBA. And then Mike Renner, Pro Football Focus, will join every Wednesday. ESPN's amazing Mike Sando every Thursday. And we expect to have another guest for you on Tuesdays as Sage Rosenfels, former NFL quarterback, and Fridays as well. So lock on to Locked on NFL on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts to get this amazing content. So here is my head spinner. Let's see if I can walk you through this. I think defensive players are actually more valuable in the league than offensive players. And everyone says, yeah, but you got to score. But I'm going to flip it the other way. And this is my take on that. The worst offensive player in the league is way better offensively than the worst defensive player is defensively. Because to just even be in the league at all, you have to be pretty good offensively.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I can see where you're going with that. So how does that impact the Jazz, and how does that impact the West?
Well, I think the Jazz are the team that has a team loaded with good defensive players. We devalue them because Dante's not a very good offensive player. Royce O'Neal's not a great offensive player. And so we devalue these players because of that fact, and and what we don't realize is that, okay, but they're not great offensively. Sure, but their baseline not very good offensively is still really talented, or they would never be in the league. Whereas Joe Johnson last year, Lou Williams, some of the least good defensive players in the league, holy smokes, they're really not very good.
So that's, this is all true in a vacuum, but then you get 5 guys in a court and you got coaches trying to maximize the strengths and minimize the weaknesses. And do the Jazz have too many guys who have the same problem? And it just leaves the coaches with nowhere to go. And let's go to bench scoring, because I think if the Jazz have good bench scoring, they become really hard to beat. I think you can dig up a bunch of numbers very quickly to tell me how good the Jazz were and what their point differential was when the starters, or at least 3 or 4 of the starters, were on the floor. But when the bench is out there, and the Spurs are great at this for years, you know, if your bench beats their bench by 4 or 5 or 6 points a night, wow, it gets really hard to beat the Spurs. And that was true for years and years. But if the Jazz can't score, then at best they're treading water.
If the game,
and so you can hide 1 or 2 guys, but if you put out several guys who can't score together, your bench unit isn't going to score.
All right, but wait a sec. If the game's getting more to switching, like we saw in the playoffs, if everyone's going to switch everything, then is the bad defensive player even more of a donut around your bat than he ever has been before?
Yeah, that depends on the opponent. And I think in the playoffs, it becomes really obvious because obviously the bad teams don't even qualify. I think the level of basketball IQ slash discipline slash team ball that it takes to make sure you constantly attack the weakest link, teams have it in the playoffs. They have 2 weeks to get dialed in, and they're very motivated to do it. But I just don't see that level of discipline, that level of focus, and that level of preparation in the regular season from most teams. You're right, though. I mean, if it's a switching league, and if you know that's their worst defender, and we can always annihilate that guy, and this guy isn't very good either, and we can usually beat him, man, if you just run your offense and focus until you get the right matchup, you ought to score at a really high clip and crush teams.
I mean, we saw what happened to Oklahoma City the minute Andre Robertson left, and no one seems to want to take anything to that. Like, they lost one of the worst offensive players in the league. I mean, I think Andre Robertson is probably the singular worst offensive player in the league, and there's numerous metrics that say that. And they lost him, and they completely fell apart defensively. Completely. His value to them was higher than any other player on their roster, and yet still no one wants to kind of... Like, Rudy comes back, and the Jazz become dominant, and still this league doesn't want to take that there's... that the defense of player... the good defensive player actually might be more valuable than the good offensive player.
Okay, well, I don't think you're talking in Rudy about a good defensive player. You're talking about a great one.
Okay, but so this...
And I probably should watch the Thunder more and look more at their numbers, because I don't think Robertson's a good player. He's either very good or he's great.
He's great.
Defensively.
He's great.
Okay, we can go great with him defensively. So, but is a great defensive player as valuable as a great offensive player? I would tell you Durant and Curry are great offensive players. How far can a great defensive player take you? He makes you better, but I don't think he can take you as far as a great offensive player.
You know, so I understand why everyone, and I think maybe that's true, and it feels that way, and everything we've ever learned about the game says that, and then as I start to dig into some of these numbers more and more, I'm not utterly convinced of that. You look at Andre Robertson's on-off numbers at Oklahoma City, Rudy Gobert's on-off numbers in Utah, and they get very similar to James Harden's on-off offensive numbers and Steph Curry's on-off offensive numbers.
Well, and I love the numbers and what it tells you over 82 games, but who's going to get deep in the playoffs? And I realize you got two of the best offensive players together, and you don't. And now we're talking about these two defensive players who are on different teams, so it's a little apples and oranges there. But in a playoff series, if you had the two best defensive players, would they lead your team past the team that had the two best offensive players? I agree with you that defense is undervalued in the league. Okay, I'll buy that. I'll buy that all day long. But that's different than saying it's equal. Defensive greatness is equal to offensive greatness.
So there's two discussions here. One is in the regular season, I think I've generally proven that defense has the exact same impact as offense. And so you're bringing up whether or not that changes in the offseason, in the postseason.
Right, and I believe it. I think the defense in the regular season, and if you're willing to defend in the regular season when guys are gassed, they don't have as much time to prepare for your weaknesses, I think you can really eat people up. You know, and that can get you an easier playoff matchup and get you deeper in the playoffs. But to go back to what we talked about earlier in the week, I think the Jazz are probably team 3 or 4 in the West. I don't think they're going to do better than that. I'm sure we're going to see some people pick them 5 or 6. I think they're team 3 or 4. What do you think?
If they're number one in the league defensively, they're team 2 or 3. The only question is just how far Houston drops. But the only reason they may not be number one defensively is because Oklahoma City might be number one defensively. Oklahoma City's going to be great.
You think I've overvalued the Spurs. You say, so we agree, Warriors, Rockets, Jazz, who've all won playoff series the last 2 years, will again be top four in the West. We're just debating who that fourth team will be, Thunder or Spurs.
I think so. I think that's where I am. Be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. It all kicks off October 17th in Sacramento, where DJ once worked. Before that, we'll do some preseason stuff. David, thank you very much for your time all week. We've really greatly appreciated it. Super to have you on Locked On Jazz. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me on.
Special thanks to David James. Back with you next week with another of the interview series. Don't have it scheduled yet. Who do you want? Who do you want? Let me know who you want to hear from. Maybe a little Ron Boone action next week. I think that'd be fun. We'll talk about it. Locked on NBA with Chuck Cooperstein. Today's a lot of fun. And Real GM Radio with Danny LaRue and Adam Mattis. This is Locked on Jazz. One other note for you coming up as well is Locked on NFL is changing the way we're doing things. We're adding experts to the show with Matt Williamson, different expert every day. So make sure you follow that for free on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify.